so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Right now, we've drawn near to God. Scripture says, as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. Amen. So this is fertile ground, ready for a seed to be planted, ready for the word to come and do a miracle in your life. Amen. And today, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to give a great Iowa hand. In just a moment, we'll give Pastor Robert Madua Iowa corn-fed, ethanol drinking, come on, snowy cold weather hand, and welcome to Central Iowa. But I got to tell you, Pastor Robert, he's a part of the preaching team. He and his wife, Taylor, they live in the Dallas area, and he's a part of the preaching team at Trinity down there, a great, phenomenal church. But he spends most of his time traveling the world, preaching the word, amen. And this is like the second Madu visit, kind of, because we had Taylor, didn't we, just last month. And who loved Taylor? Come on. And so today and this weekend now, we get the second Madu visit. We get Robert himself. So let's all give Pastor Robert Madu an Iowa welcome. Come on. Welcome. Thank you.
Come on, can we give Jesus some praise in here tonight? Come on, let's lift up our voice and give the King of Kings just the best praise that you got. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in God's house on a Saturday night? Do you like who you're standing next to? Because if you don't, you got time. You can change your seat. It's still dark. It's still dark. Hey, it's pretty amazing that we can gather in this place and lift up the name that is above every name. I just love what the Bible says. It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Praises, not the complaints of his people. Sometimes when life's hitting you upside the head, you want to complain, but God doesn't inhabit complaints. He inhabits praise. When we praise God, we're not saying everything in our life is perfect or that, you know, Kool-Aid is coming out of the water fountain. We are saying that we serve a good God. And even if what I'm going through is not good, how many know he has the power to make it work for my good and turn that thing around? Come on, can we give God some praise? Have your way in this place tonight, Jesus. Do whatever you want to do. In Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen. Give somebody a high five as you take your seat. Tell them, I'm glad you're sitting next to me. Wow. I am in Iowa. Hey, this is a big deal for me. I am ridiculously Red Bull excited to be here because oftentimes when I come to a church for the first time, you know, you just kind of got to guess before you come in. But I already knew what I was walking into because my wife, Taylor, the finest woman on the planet, I knew as soon as she came back, I said, how was it with the ladies at Eternity Church? She goes, oh, babe. And as soon as y'all heard that, I knew it was going to be good. And she just said how incredible, how welcoming, how kind, and just an atmosphere of faith. How many know you're blessed to be a part of this church? Do you know that? Just let you know right now, the grass does not get greener anywhere else. If it is, it's AstroTurf. It's not real. But this is a phenomenal church, and I don't just say that. Just talking with Pastor Jesse at lunch and just seeing what God has done in this year. Here's my prayer, Eternity Church. I pray you never take this for granted. I found sometimes people can be in the middle of a miracle and not even realize it. But you're in the middle of a miracle, what God is doing here. And you're blessed to have an incredible pastor and his wife that lead you. Come on, can you help me thank God for Pastor Jesse and his wife? Come on, would you let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them? Y'all could do better than that. Do you love your pastors? Come on. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you for your hearts Thank you for leading faithfully in your incredible, audacious faith. And man, I feel like preaching if y'all feel like hearing the word. Amen? I'm going to jump straight into Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to look at verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, we'll start at verse number 1, and we'll land at verse number 10. And I can already tell just from worship, this is a responsive church. And I love it. I love it. How many know how much you receive out of a message is not just contingent upon the ability of a preacher, it's also upon you. Never forget when God revealed that to me. It took so much pressure off of me to know that how much you receive out of this service or this message is not just on me, it's on you too. It really is. I'll preach to some place and they'll be like, ooh, that's the best message you ever preached. And I go, nah, that's the best time you ever listened. Like, you actually weren't on your phone. No wonder God spoke to you. So I want to encourage you over these next few moments that we have just to lean in. I really believe this is for somebody in here today. Acts chapter 3, we'll start at verse number 1. When you're ready to read it, say yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not ready, you need some time, say hold up. All right, there we go. And it says, one day. Whoo, it's already good. One day. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get a little something from them. And Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have. First thing out of Pete's mouth was, I ain't got it. I've found that's where most people actually get stuck in life. Most people get stuck because they are fully aware of what they do not have. In fact, I've found that the enemy is proficient at reminding you what you do not have. Oh, come on, am I the only one? You ever just been scrolling through Instagram or been on Facebook and heard the enemy loud in your ear saying, you ain't got that, you ain't got that, you ain't never gonna have that, you don't even got the credit score for that. He loves to tell you what you do not have, but thank God for that comma. I'm so glad that Peter did not stop at what he did not have. He goes, but what I do have. Ooh, Peter said, I got something. Would you help me preach tonight? Just look at your neighbor, whichever one you like the best. And just tell them, you got something. Oh, some of y'all just looked at me. You didn't even look at your neighbor. Come on, encourage your neighbor. Tell them, you got something. Yeah, don't let the enemy beat you up about what you don't have. You have something. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. And I'm not giving it in my name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Can you say amen? Come on, isn't that good stuff? So good. I'm going to preach tonight. Not long. It's Saturday night. Not long. Probably about 6.5 hours. just using this as a title. The beauty of being stuck. The beauty of being stuck. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for these moments that we have in your presence. God, I know that not a single person in here tonight is here by accident. God, they are here by your divine providence. Holy Spirit, speak to us tonight. We've not gathered here out of religious routine. We've not come tonight to be entertained. We have come to be drastically changed. Speak to us so clearly. Let us leave different than the way that we came in. And everybody loves Jesus. Say it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Everybody say it.
Yeah.
Ooh, the beauty of being stuck. Has anybody been to an airport lately? Can I see your hand if you've been to an airport lately? Okay, quite a few of you. If you lifted up your hand, then you are fully aware of the fact that what I basically just asked was, has anybody been to purgatory lately? Anybody been to hell and back lately? Come on, can we be honest? Sometimes it is stressful to travel. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, after almost 15 years now of full-time traveling itinerant ministry and coming up on some 3 million miles flown, I am fully convinced that if you really want to test your faith, just book a flight, okay? Book you a flight, okay? If you really, really think you're full of the Spirit, fly Spirit, and then come holler at your boy, because it is stressful to travel. People, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Don't forget that last one, self-control. If you are a believer, then that fruit should be evident in your life. However, if you're here tonight or you're watching online and you're like, man, Robert, I got all that fruit, but you've never flown before, how do I say this? I don't believe you. I do not believe you, because the airport is designed to suck the fruit of the Spirit out of you. The whole airport system is orchestrated to make you lose your sanity and your Christianity. People, the lost baggage claim desk, the lost baggage claim desk is really just a test to see if you won't say words that you're not supposed to say. Yes, it's the reason the person behind the counter is moving at a glacial pace and is typing one word per minute and seems to be undisturbed and unperturbed by the fact that you paid them a fee to lose your bag. It's because that person wants to giggle on the inside when they make you go off in public and speak in a tongue that needs no interpretation. Come on, can we be real in here tonight at Eternity Church? It is hard to travel. So as a consequence, I've developed over the years what I call Robert's Rules of Flying, okay? I won't bore you with all of them, but I'll give you one, okay? I do nonstop flights only, okay? I am not about that connection life. Just take me from Dallas to my destination, okay? I'm a nonstop ninja, all right? The only problem with my rule is the reality that there are just some places in life, if you're going to go, you will have to stop and make a connection. Oh, that'll preach. I might say that again later. And so the challenge for me occurs when my departing flight is late and I got to connect in another city. And when I land in that city, I have 1.5 minutes to get to the next gate. And to add to that, I landed at gate A1, but my connecting flight is at gate Z99. And I got 1.5 minutes to get to gate Z99. Eternity Church, at this point, I only got three options. I can miss my flight, ain't gonna happen. I can call for that cute little cart to carry me there, not gonna happen. Or I can put my Orange Theory fitness to the test and run like Usain Bolt or Forrest Gump all the way to the gate, just trying to get to gate Z99. This happened to me just a few weeks ago. I am running with everything I got, just trying to get to the gate. And I love when I'm running. Sometimes I will see something in the distance. I will see something that reminds me of the goodness of our God. I will see something that lets me know that God is still in the miracle working business. I will see something that lets me know that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you may ask or think. I will see one of those, ooh, you ready? Moving walkways. Have you ever seen one of those before? The moving walkways. I'm about to have church. I love a moving walkway, because to me, that moving walkway is just like having the favor of God on your life. Because how many know when you start walking on that moving walkway, it will expedite your journey. It'll get you there quicker than you could in your own strength and your own ability. I love a moving walkway. The only problem though with the moving walkway, my only issue with the moving walkway, my only frustration with the moving walkway are the people on the moving walkway who refuse to move. What is wrong with y'all? Hey, this is what I came to Iowa to talk about, this right here. Why in the world would you be standing with your big old suitcase that should have been checked? Why are you standing on the moving walkway? Oh, people, this is a huge issue in our nation that nobody's talking about. Yes, you want my vote in 2020? Take care of these people who are standing on the move and walkway. Oh, and I think my frustration with you people who are here tonight, it's not that you're standing. It's not that you're standing. If you were standing in any other place in the airport, I would be fine with it. I think my frustration stems from the fact that you have brought stagnation on a mechanism that was created for movement. My frustration comes from the fact that you have brought stuckness and stagnation to something that was actually created to move you faster and further than you could in your own strength. And anytime you have stagnation in a place that was created for movement, you will always have frustration. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is traffic. Come on, I don't mind sitting down for a good hour, looking out of a glass window, listening to the radio, as long as I'm in my house. That's catching a vibe. I don't want to do it in my car on the highway. That is road rage. Come on. How is it that I can sit on my couch for hours in the same spot and be comfortable in the same spot for hours if I'm watching a good Netflix series? But if you put me on the runway at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and we're just sitting on the runway for an hour, please believe this chocolate brother is going to hijack that plane and do whatever I got to do to get this thing started. Because stagnation in a place that was created for movement always produces frustration. And I'm wondering tonight if the reason that perhaps you are secretly frustrated with where you are right now is because your life has become stuck and stagnant when God created you for movement. Could it be possible, even plausible tonight, that the reason you're annoyed with where your life is because your life has become stuck, still, stationary, and stagnant when God actually created you for movement? You do know that God is a God of movement. Come on, this is why it's been a big November. This God is trying to take this church somewhere. This is a God of movement. He never wants you to stay where you are. He's trying to take you from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, because He is a God of movement. Oh, I feel like preaching in here tonight. He's a God of movement. He's taking you somewhere. He is a God of movement. No wonder the Bible says that the steps of the righteous. You ever think about that? Not the stuckness of the righteous. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Why are the steps ordered? Because God is a God of movement. Ooh, you don't believe God is a God of movement? People, the first thing God shows us in the Bible is that He is a God of movement. In the book of Genesis, He lets us know.
Give us the scripture for it, Robert.
I'll give you the scripture. Genesis chapter 1, it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was what? Moving over the face of the waters. The first thing God was doing was that He was moving, showing us that He is a God of movement. In fact, to me, creation was just the beginning. It was the commencement of a symphony where God, the cosmic conductor, just pulled out His omnipotent baton and began a melody of movement, because everything God made had to move. Not a single thing got to stay still. Everything He created, it had a cadence, it had a pace. He said, "Let there be light." Put the whole solar system in place. And once everything was set, He goes, "Oh yeah, y'all can't stand still. Get to moving." And all of a sudden, everything just started moving. This is what God does. Even right now, we're moving. You can't feel it, but we're moving right now. That's why you should never judge what God is doing in your life just because you don't feel it. Because He can still be moving something even when you can't feel it. We're moving right now. Everything God made, it had to move. He said, "Let there be water." Created water and told the water to get the moving. He said, "Water, you can't be still. That's mosquitoes. Get to moving." And the water started moving. Every animal He made had to move. Can you see the cheetah? Cheetah, get to moving. And here comes the cheetah just moving. He even turned the turtle to get to moving. The turtle was like, God, I'm an introvert. I don't want to come out of my shell. He's like, no, you still got to get to moving. You ain't got to be as fast as the cheetah, but you still got to move. And here comes the turtle. Everything God made, it had to move. He reached down in dirt, created man, breathed into him the breath of life. And guess what the heart started doing? It started moving. That's why today, when you go for a checkup and your doctor checks your heart, he puts in his headphones. You know what he's checking for? That same beat that began in the beginning. And if there's irregularities in the movement of your heart, that means there's something wrong in your body because it's got to keep moving. See, this is why I give God the best praise that I got. Because even when life is not good, how many are thankful just the fact you woke up today is enough reason to give God some praise. Come on, if you got a pulse, you still got a purpose because God is a God of movement. People, you don't believe God is a God of movement? Two-thirds of his name is go. Some of you get that tomorrow. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's about to ascend to heaven. And before he leaves, the disciples are looking at him like, hold up, can we get like a commission, like a great commission or something? He's like, oh, you want a commission? All right, go! Into all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature, making disciples of every nation. Because he is a God of movement. Challenge occurs. Because we have a God who is a God of movement, but yet humanity has this tendency and this propensity to always get stuck. Come on, have you noticed this about us? We love to get stuck. It's like it's in our DNA. I'm not even talking about like sin. I'm just talking about like you generally sit in the same seat in the same section every time you come here. Some of y'all been coming here a long time. You don't want to check out this side of the sanctuary. Just we sit in the same seats. We go to the same restaurants. Some of you don't even know that the coffee shop right around the corner from the one you always go to has much better espresso. And you'll never know because you go to the same coffee shop. This human propensity to get stuck, it is in our DNA. In fact, I would even argue theologically that all that is wrong with the world today is because humanity got stuck. Adam and Eve did not keep it moving. They got stuck. You remember Genesis chapter 3. They got stuck at the wrong tree, listening to the wrong voice, so they made the wrong choice. And now we are reaping the ramifications of a decision that they made when they were stuck. The sickness of stuckness, it is in our DNA. And I mentioned Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, even though my text today is Acts chapter 3, and we have a man who is stuck. And the reason I bring Genesis chapter 3 and Acts chapter 3 up is because there actually is a synergy between Acts chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 3. Because if you look at Acts chapter 3 just at a micro level, which we will do, you're going to see a man who was lame from birth, outside of the temple gate, begging until one day Peter and John, full of the Holy Spirit, raise him up. But if we broaden the lens of this text and really look at it from a macro level and keeping Genesis 3 in mind, I'll submit to you that this man is really just a picture of the spiritual condition of humanity. Because how many of you know all of us, because of sin, are lame? And lame from birth. You do know you were born lame. Oh, sin did this to us spiritually. You were born spiritually lame. I mean lame. Some of y'all are like, Robert, I'm a good person. No, you were lame, born lame. I'll prove it to you. You notice nobody had to teach you how to lie? What class did you take on selfishness? No, at 2 years old, you perfected mine. Just born lame. This is what sin did to us. It made us spiritually lame. And just like that man, we had no access to the temple. The temple was the presence of God. Sin cut off our access. So when Peter and John pulled that man up, it's really just a picture of the power of what the cross did. It pulled us up and gave us access to the presence of God. Come on, how many are thankful? You don't have to be a beggar. You're a child of the Most High God. You are who God said that you are. So there is a synergy between Acts chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 3. But in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit, all of humanity got stuck. And I know this is not how it happened in the Bible. This is kind of how my mind works, and this is my exegetical imagination. But when Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit and all of humanity got stuck, I think God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit immediately called an executive Trinity team meeting in heaven. You know, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three of them there, but one, all at the same time. And they looked down at Adam and Eve, and God the Father goes to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit goes, y'all see what I see? They're stuck. You know, they can't get themselves out. So one of y'all gonna have to go down there and get them out. And immediately, Jesus looks at the Holy Spirit and goes, well, can't nobody move like you. So why don't you go down there and get them out? And the Holy Spirit looks at Jesus like, Jesus, no. Don't play. Don't try to mess up the Bible. I'm Acts chapter 2, you Matthew chapter 1. Don't try to mess up the Bible, Jesus. No, you're the Savior of the world. You go down there, you get them out. He's like, I know, I'm tripping. And Jesus gets on the balcony of heaven, and he jumps off the balcony of heaven. It was a 42 generation jump, and he lands in the womb of a virgin named Mary. I'm at Christmas, and all of a sudden Mary is having tension in her relationship with Joseph because she's feeling funny, and she's like, Joseph, we need to talk. And Joseph's like, yeah, we need to talk, girl. Why you been acting so distant lately? You don't want to get married anymore? And Mary's like, no, it's not that, Joseph. You know I love you. It's just like, oh, I don't even know how to tell you this. Just give me your hand. Takes Joseph's hand, puts it on her stomach, and Joseph goes, whoa, something just moved. She goes, yeah, that's what he does. All of a sudden, there is tension in their relationship. So Mary calls her pregnant cousin Elizabeth and says, girl, I got to see you. And Mary takes an Uber to Elizabeth's house. And when she gets out of the Uber, she meets her pregnant cousin Elizabeth, and they both waddle up on each other like two penguins in Alaska meeting for the very first time. And Elizabeth goes, girl, you ain't going to believe this. I haven't felt my baby move in months, but as soon as you got out of that Uber, girl, my baby started kicking and moving and rolling around like it was full of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's in you, but it's making my baby move in me. And Mary goes, yeah, that's what he does. All of a sudden, Elizabeth goes, I cannot believe you took an Uber down here. Mary, you are pregnant. And Mary goes, yeah, and the Uber driver was real weird too. Elizabeth goes, really? What was his name? Mary goes, John. Elizabeth goes, I like that name. Fast forward 30 years later, John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River. And please believe that the water is still moving from the same cadence of creation. And John, he almost drowns a guy in the water because he looks up in the distance and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the one I was telling y'all about. I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. I feel like preaching on a Saturday night. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, Jesus and John meet in the water, and one of John's disciples, low-key, looks at him and goes, you know this dude? And John is like, yes, I know this dude. And what's crazy is the first time we met, we were in water. Now we're meeting again in water. This must be a destiny moment. I have to decrease so that he may increase. He baptizes Jesus. The heavens open up. Jesus starts moving in the earth. He heals the sick, raises the dead, dies on the cross, gets up from the grave, ascends back to heaven, and now the Trinity executive team meeting is readjourned. And the Holy Spirit and God the Father look at Jesus and go, man, you killed that thing. And Jesus goes, you know, I did the best that I could. And then the Holy Spirit goes, I know what I got to do. And the Holy Spirit gets on the balcony of heaven, jumps off the balcony of heaven, and lands in an upper room, Acts chapter 2. And suddenly a sound as a mighty rushing wind filled that room where some believers were believing for a move of God. And all of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. Bro, I just gave you the whole Bible like in 10 minutes. You're welcome. And in that room that day was Peter and John. Now I'm at my text, Acts chapter 3. And Peter and John get out of that room full of the Holy Spirit and said, we just got power to be his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They go, we better start at Jerusalem. So here's Peter and John. Can you see them? walking to church together, full of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, can you see him? Peter and John walking to the Saturday night service at Eternity Church to pray. Can you see him? Peter and John together walking to church. Peter and John together? A quick question. Why are these two dudes still hanging out? You understand they don't have to hang out anymore. Jesus has already ascended to heaven. The only thing that connected them was that Jesus handpicked them. He selected them. They don't have to hang out anymore. Why in the world are Peter and John walking to church together? Peter and John. You realize this is a walking contradiction. Yes, one of these things is not like the other. Peter and John. Okay, Peter is older. John, much younger. Peter is a baby boomer. John is a millennial. Peter and John going to church together. John is walking, checking his Snapchat. Peter is still on Facebook. Peter and John walking together. No, I'm just trying to figure out, like John, he is an introvert. He thinks before he speaks. He's very pensive. Peter is an extrovert. He's a loudmouth. He's going to say something crazy and apologize for it later. People, John is a lover. Peter is a cusser. When John got ready to express his love and his loyalty to Jesus, he would just lay his head on the chest of Jesus. He loved to cuddle with Jesus. When Peter got ready to express his love and loyalty for Jesus, Peter pulled out a knife, a switchblade, and cut a dude's ear all the way off. Jesus had to fix it real quick, like, Peter, what are you doing? Peter's like, I'm with you, Jesus. I don't know about them, but I'm with you. I'm ride or die. I'm just trying to figure out how a gangster and Gandhi are walking to church together. Peter and John, they're a walking contradiction. Oh, and maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point. You understand, this is the first miracle after the birth of the New Testament church, the healing of this lame man. This is not an ordinary miracle. This is a prototype miracle by which God is trying to show the church today the pattern by which his power moves. And perhaps the reason they're walking together as a contradiction is because God is trying to get the church today to realize that what the culture would call a contradiction, the kingdom calls collaboration. What the culture sees as the greatest place of contradiction. How many know in the kingdom of God, it is the greatest place of collaboration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what makes the church the church. That we can come in here today with all of our differences, all of our contradictions on the surface. But how many are thankful that if we agree that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that broken people can be saved and rescued, if we can agree on that, that's where we can collaborate. But it is a trick of the enemy. Please don't miss this. In these last days, it is a trick of the enemy to get us today to focus on the contradiction so we won't collaborate. So you got churches arguing with other churches, and I don't believe it like that, and I don't believe it like this. You got fights in the church. Well, you young people, if you would just pull up your pants, and if you would just stop going to Starbucks, and if you old people would turn up the volume and just loosen up. Arguing about surface level contradictions. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. Arguing about surface level contradictions. Because the enemy knows as long as we're fighting about the contradiction, people will remain lame and won't get up. Because our power is in our collaboration. I know some of y'all don't want to say amen. Because we all have this tendency to walk with people that just walk like us, talk like us, think like us. But our power is not in our similarities. Our power is in our differences. And if we can collaborate in spite of the difference, I wonder what God would do in the earth. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy that the first miracle after the birth of the church was a collaboration between one disciple that had a big heart, John, and another disciple that had a big mouth, Peter. And perhaps it was John's compassion that noticed the lame man, but it took the courage of Peter to say, hey, bro, get up. No, get up. Nobody gonna feel sorry for you. I still got a knife in my pocket. Get up. And John's like, Peter, love. Collaboration. Can't just talk about Peter and John, because come on, they're not the star of this text. The star of this text is this lame man. And whenever I preach a passage like this, if I can give you some insight to my sermon prep, I would sit on the floor just like this. Because I want to feel, even if it's just for a moment, I want to feel who I'm preaching about, what they had to face. Because think about it, even in our current context today, we don't understand what many of our disabled brothers and sisters have to face. Can you imagine in biblical antiquity with no hover rounds, no wheelchairs, no elevators? It was the epitome of being stuck. Somebody dropped you off, you better get comfortable. You're gonna be there for a while. And I thought about this, that the only thing that didn't work in this man's life were his legs. Everything else worked. Heart beating, eyes seeing, ears listening. He probably had good teeth. All of that was good. All of that was fine. The only thing that did not work in his life were his legs, but that one thing affected everything else. Affected his relationships. Because how many know when you're lame, you can only talk to other lame people? Because lame recognizes lame. It affected his economy. He's got to beg now. He's limited in where he can work. One thing affected everything else. Some of you in here tonight, you think you got all these problems in your life? You just got one. Your bad attitude is affecting every area of your life. Your procrastination is affecting every area of your life, because one thing can affect a multiplicity of things. And I thought about when you get stuck, you know what you start doing? You start developing what I call systems of stuckness. You know what you got to do to get around, because you're stuck. You start having stuck conversations with other stuck people. Yeah. Hey, man, what you going to do today? Man, I'm probably going to chill here late for a little bit. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. You ever just had stuck conversations with stuck people? I mean, the conversation 6 months from now is going to be the same conversation today, because they're just stuck, just going through life but not really living it. Just stuck conversations. Some of y'all have been stuck, but you've experienced the power of God raising you up. Come on, anybody been in a service and God spoke to you and you went, oh, I will never be the same again, and God just raised you up in a moment? The problem is you were stuck for so long that you developed relationship with other stuck people, and you try, don't you, in your own strength to try to go back and talk to those same stuck people, but the jokes aren't funny anymore. You're trying to figure out how you still doing the same stuff. You still trying to go to the club at 45 years old, man, just doing the same stuff. And then they have the nerve to look at you and go, man, something different about you. See, you change. Seems like you change. And they'll say it in that tone, you change. You just start looking at people and say, you better believe I'm changed. That is the point of life. I don't want to be who I always was. I want to be everything that God has called me to be. Oh, you better believe I'm changing. That is the point. If I'm the same person at 40 that I was at 20, I wasted 20 years of my life. It seems like you change. It seems like you acting stuck up. No, I'm not stuck up. I'm just up. You're stuck. That's why we don't have anything else to talk about. Systems. Start developing systems of being stuck. And the thing that really drew me to this text, all of that was my introduction. The thing that really drew me to this text, and I missed this, Pastor. I never saw this. I preached from this text before. Is that the Bible says that this man who is stuck was brought in front of the temple gate. The temple gate. Let's bring it to the 21st century. They dropped him in the church parking lot. Every day. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Saturday. Every day he got dropped in the church parking lot. So if he got dropped every day,
in the church parking lot? That means there are two people in this text that nobody ever preaches about. I never preached about them. Everybody always talks about Peter and John, but if he got dropped every day, that means there are two other people in this passage that nobody preaches about, and guess what? They came to the 6 o'clock service at Eternity Church. They're here. I'm going to invite them on stage to come out really fast. See, everybody talks about the lame man. You could just drop him right there. Gingerly. Everybody talks about the lame man, and everybody talks about Peter and John. My question is, how come nobody talks about y'all? How come nobody talks about Billy and Bob? Because he got dropped in the church parking lot every day. People, I study, I did my due diligence. I did an etymological exploratory on this biblical passage on the original language of the word every day. Guess what it means in the original language? Every day. They dropped him every day. You know what that means? That means Sunday morning they picked him up. Pick him up. They dropped him over here in front of the church. After they dropped him, he would hold out his cup and beg. They would go to work, do whatever they had to do. They would come right back about 5 o'clock that evening, pick him right back up. After they picked him up, they would drop him off at his house, about right here. After they dropped him off at his house, then they would go back home. That is Sunday. Monday morning, they came right back, picked him up. After they picked him up, they would drop him off in front of the church. After they dropped him off, he would hold out his cup and beg. They went to work, did whatever they had to do, came right back about 5 o'clock, picked him right back up, and then they would drop him off at his house. And then after they dropped him off at his house, then they would go home. That's Monday. Tuesday morning, ding dong, here they come to pick him right back up. After they picked him up, they would drop him off in front of the church. He would hold out his cup and beg. They went to work, did whatever they had to do, came right back about 5 o'clock. But you didn't know he was working out in church today. And then they would drop it at his house, and then they would go back home. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, they would come right. No, I'm playing. Yeah, but he just said, I don't have a whole week in me. I'm just trying to show you the laborious nature of every day. We didn't even get to Friday. They're both sweating. Every day. Every day. So maybe the first few days, they did it out of the kindness of their heart. Never mind. Y'all are extra generous at Eternity Church. So maybe they did it a month. A month. Every day. For a month. Just trying to be kind. But I think after a month of every day, one of those days they picked him up. They dropped him off in front of the church. He held out his cup and begged. They went to work. They came back about 5 o'clock. Hold up. That cup's not empty anymore. He's been begging all day. No, stay down. Don't get healed yet. Hold on. I'll Steven Spielberg it. Just pay attention. Hold out his cup. That cup is full. And y'all been working hard every day? I mean, come on. Uber and Lyft is not free. I think you deserve a cut. Go ahead and get your cut. Get your cut. Get your cut. Yeah, get your cut. Yeah. Now that you got your cut, now pick him back up. Ooh, and he's lighter now, ain't he? And they dropped him home. And how many know Billy and Bob are whistling on their way back home now? And I want y'all to just freeze right here, because now we have collaborators to a sick system of somebody who's stuck. How many know at this point, Billy and Bob don't want him to be healed? Oh no, they do not want him whole. Why would they? It would affect their pockets. They have now become the benefactors and the beneficiaries of somebody who's stuck. And the reason I brought Billy and Bob on stage is to tell somebody who feel stuck. That whenever you are stuck, there will always be Peters and Johns in your life who are trying to pull you up, as uncomfortable as it is sometimes, into what God is calling you. But there will also be Billies and Bobs. There will also be Billies and Bobs who don't want you to be healed, who don't want you to be whole, who want you to stay broken because they have developed a sick relationship to your stuckness. And I know some of you can't say amen because you know Billy and Bob could be a man, Billy and Bob could be a woman, and some of y'all are sitting next to Billy and Bob, so just look at me and keep blinking and don't let them know. I'm just saying whenever you're stuck, you got to check your circle. Say, is there somebody that's benefiting from my stuckness? Y'all give them a hand. Thank you so much. Worship team, join me. Hear me. Later we will find out that that system, please don't miss this, that system of get picked up, hold out my cup, make a few bucks, give them their cut, and go back home, that system went on for 40 years. Can you imagine? 40 years of every day, get picked up, hold out my cup, make a few bucks, give them their cut, and go back home for 40 years? After 40 years, you're just a robot, just going through the motions. You know you're stuck when you stop looking up. Just lost hope, get picked up, hold out my cup, make a few bucks, give them their cut. Some of you, that's your life. You just call it your job. Go to work, make a few bucks, give the IRS their cut, go back home. Is that why God created you? No, he came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. And God told somebody that this is your day for him to break your routine, for him to break your system of you being stuck. That's why I got excited that the text began with one day. Because even after 40 years of a sick system of just getting picked up and going through the motions, after 40 years of being stuck, how many are glad that one day after just going through the motions and holding out his cup, he hears two voices full of the Holy Spirit that say, look at us. And the Bible says he gave Peter and John his attention. I bet he did. They broke his system. They broke his routine. Somebody in here tonight, God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to tell you that there is more to life than you just going through the motions. He is trying to get your attention. If he can get your attention, he can exceed your expectations. But he's got to get your attention first. Gave Peter and John his attention. Watch this. Expecting to get something. What do you think he was expecting to get? What do you think he was expecting to get? Money. Isn't that sad? Just real soft, just real soft. He was expecting to get money. He didn't even think that movement was possible. This is the danger of being stuck for so long, because when you're stuck for so long, hear me tonight, you will start to downgrade your dream to fit your reality. You'll downgrade the dream. He didn't even think that movement was possible. He was willing to settle for money. And some of you have downgraded the dream God gave you to fit your reality. Well, I guess we'll never have a good marriage, so you stay on your side of the house, I'll stay on my. No, don't downgrade the dream to fit your reality. Oh, I guess I'll never have the business God told me to start, so I'll just keep working at this job I hate. No, don't downgrade the dream to fit your reality when God wants to exceed your expectation. So Peter goes, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Woo!
in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on, I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight that knows there is power in the name of Jesus. When you call on that name when you're stuck, that is the only name that can get you out. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up. Oh, somebody give that name the best praise that you got in this place. I dare you to get up on your feet and give that name praise. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Walk. Oh, that man, he got up, he started jumping and leaping and praising God and went all the way into the church service. Just got real soft, watch this. He went all the way into the church service where they were having regular kumbaya service. Can y'all see him just, oh, and here comes this guy. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And they're looking at him like, OMG. Oh, you're so emotional. It does not take all that, okay? You can worship like this. And here he comes to the temple. Hallelujah! Just jumping and praising God. And they're like, oh, wow, he's excited. Calm down, okay? It's not that serious. It's just church. And I hear some of you laughing, but I'm in churches every weekend. And you would be shocked at the people that look sideways at people who worship God with passion or exuberantly. But I've learned, never judge somebody's praise. You don't know how long they were stuck. You don't know what God pulled them out of. Come on, some of us know where we could have been and where we should have been if it had not been for the Lord in our life. Come on, he deserves the best praise that I got. So praising God. As he was praising and they were judging, all of a sudden it says, they went, hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute. I've seen those feet before. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging. You want to know the beauty of being stuck? Hear me tonight. The beauty of being stuck is that you can get up. Don't let the enemy make you think you have to stay stuck in the system. You can get up. But the beauty of being stuck is also that God will make sure that the same people who saw you in your lame season will see you in your leaping season. And they will have a point of reference. And that's when you gotta testify and say, the same one, that's me. The one that used to be depressed, I got my joy back. I'm the same one. The one that used to have a messed up marriage, God restored it. I'm the same one. That's why you should never be ashamed when the enemy lets bad news about you get around, because God knows how to use that same news to give him glory and honor and praise. It's the beauty of being stuck. And I don't know who this is for tonight, but God says, this is your one day to break the system and get up. I'm going to ask all heads be bowed, all eyes closed in this place today. Father, thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to stay stuck. Lord, just like this one man's miracle started a revival in that whole city. Lord, I thank you that somebody in here today who feels stuck, who feels like giving up, Lord, I thank you that if they will give you their attention, you will exceed their expectation. And this season of stuck will not be wasted, but Lord, it will declare your goodness and your grace. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but if you're in here tonight and you'd be so honest to say, man, Pastor Robert, this is for me, and I feel stuck, but tonight I'm giving God my attention. Some of you, what you're facing right now is simply God trying to get your attention. If you say tonight, this is for me, and I'm giving God my attention and permission to wreck my routine of stuckness. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand as a sign to say, this is for me, this is for me. Yeah, hands are going up all over this place. Thank you, Jesus. You can lift it up. You can put it right back down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. If you call on that name, he's the only one that can get you unstuck. Anybody else? Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. If you're here tonight or maybe even watching online, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, tonight I would love to give you that opportunity to say, Lord, all that I am is yours. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. I don't care if it's just one person. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand and say, I need to give him my life tonight. Just lift it up and put it right back down. Yeah, see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you, God. Can we pray this one big prayer as a family, especially if you responded? We're all going to say it. Would you say this from your heart? Just say, dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving me enough to pay the price to get me unstuck. Lord, I know I cannot do life without you. I need you. Come into my life. Make me brand new. I give you permission to wreck my routine, to pull me out of stuckness so that I can move into all that you have for me. Jesus, I trust you for what's ahead. From this moment forward, I'm following you. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen and give God the best praise that you got. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Can you give Jesus some praise tonight? God bless you, Eternity Church.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.